I said, what you know about it?
It's the stew, baby.
Got the mise en place.
Yummy stew, baby.
And the room a lot.
Hello, hello. You're listening to The Stew. My name is Jason Stewart. This is my food podcast. Normally, my co-host, Chris Chang, is with me, but he is not because he's in New York taking a vacation. So I have Chris Stewart, aka my twin brother here, taking his place. And our guest today is my old friend, Kate Green. Say hello.
Guest of honor, Kate Green.
Guest of honor, Kate Green.
It's an honor and a pleasure.
If you don't know who Kate Green is, she is the assistant to Nancy Silverton.
Correct.
And she works at Moza, the Moza restaurant group, Moza Empire, Osteria Moza, and
Kiesbacca,
not Cheesebacca.
Don't get confused.
Or just don't say it wrong.
I don't get confused. I just get wrong.
Yeah, I just get it wrong. Straight up, everybody does.
Everybody.
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
You don't even want to know the different iterations of Moza that people say. Matza.
Yeah.
Osteria Moza.
Ooh, that one's a good one.
The restaurant.
Yeah.
Osteria,
the one.
Osteria mozzarella, one of my favorites.
And Pizzeria Moza.
And Pizzeria.
Can't forget the OG.
God, it's the best.
It's the best. Yeah, I'm never gonna say Kiesbacca, unfortunately.
You just did.
I know, but it felt bad, wrong coming out of my mouth. Just like when people say, "I actually live in Los Feliz, California," which is correct. The correct way to say it, but I ain't gonna do it.
So then, hold on. What do you say then?
Everyone says Los Feliz.
I say Los Feliz.
Everyone says Los Feliz. The correct way of saying it is Los Feliz.
I really say it like an asshole.
But also,
but like
Figueroa, kind of an asshole.
But like Figueroa and then Figueroa. Like I'm not gonna. I say
no one says it like
but
that.
They,
Figueroa. But there's a lot
but
of
they do.
There's a lot of good versions of that in the food world that I will that we can talk about.
That's a whole nother podcast.
I'll introduce. Chris Stewart is my twin brother, but he's also
nobody knows that.
He's also in the food world.
Next year is 20 years.
20 years in the game.
Yeah.
Started out.
You got me beat
I'm
by 12.
Super dating ourselves.
Yeah. Starting out as a server.
No, lava platos way. I washed dishes. Starting my first out, job ever.
The classic Rex Richard story of
but
dishwashing.
Don't try to run one up me. You were a dishwasher?
Yeah.
Not fair.
I've done everything like make cocktails essentially and cook. No, I've cooked and yeah, no, not done. Yeah.
You've done it all.
Done it all.
But now currently you are the general manager of the restaurant Good Girl Dinette here in Los Angeles.
That's a week today.
It's been a week.
Congratulations.
Fresh.
Thank you. It's a lot of fun.
Which is a cool, hip Vietnamese restaurant in Highland Park.
Which also celebrated their 5-year anniversary. Just last week.
It's a big deal in Los Angeles to be open for that long.
Yeah, in that neighborhood too, pre-Highland Park boom. It's in Highland Park, by the way.
Pre-Highland Park boom, mid-recession.
Mid-recession, real talk.
The slums of 2009.
Yeah. It's all in the...
I had to put my caviar spoon on ice during those years.
Yeah.
Which actually helps for scooping.
It does.
So back to food words. This interests me. Food words that people say incorrectly. Well, we can say that. I like to do words that everybody says incorrectly, but the correct way of saying it makes you sound like a douche.
Okay.
Like when people say endive.
I was just going to say, that was going to be my example.
That's kind of...
Endive, hello.
Belgian endive. Fuck, man.
What else you got?
Shit, I'm trying to think. I mean, I bet you there's some Vietnamese ones.
Oh, just pho.
I mean, obviously, just pho.
Oh, yeah, pho.
I mean, I dropped so many pho, and they're like, this is your chicken pho. Like, just look at me as like, I can't do it. I seriously, like, it's hard.
You can't say pho?
I don't know how to say it. I was like, no, it's pho. Dude, we're from Orange County. Like, there's a huge Vietnamese contingency. Like, I've been eating pho since ever. It's not like a flash in the pan since forever.
Thing. Forever.
Since forever. Forever. Yeah. And they don't. They just don't know. The pho. Oh, yeah, I got the chicken pho. I was like, well, I don't
we don't have any pho here, I mean, but here's your pho.
But they're right, because if you don't fucking know, you don't know.
Yeah, you can't.
It's
can't
like
get mad.
Phonetically, yeah. Like I'm not mad. It's like, oh right, duh. Like I'm sorry.
Not everybody is a foodie.
But you're not. But you're not saying it to ever like embarrass anybody or be
rude.
I'm
dropping this food. I'm like, do you forget what you ordered? It's like, oh shit, is this the wrong? is this the wrong for the wrong table? Sure. Is the wrong dish? Like I'm thinking everything, but oh duh, you just don't know what I'm saying. You know.
Right.
So there's that.
And honestly, like I never knew that it was pronounced pho until I went to like a proper Vietnamese restaurant where they're like. Looking at me like an idiot when I'm saying pho. Like, I don't, you don't know any better.
Yeah, I was the same way.
How are you supposed to know?
I don't speak Vietnamese.
This
I don't know.
Fucking, it's an O. Dog, like,
it's P H O.
I know.
But you should not get mad at somebody for saying it wrong.
No, never.
Which never.
I mean, you guys wouldn't, but a lot of people out there.
Oh.
Unfortunately will.
On some Portlandia shit, yeah.
On some motherfucking Portlandia
shit.
Yeah, if you were Portlandia, you would have been like, we're. We didn't order pho, and you're like, yes, you did. I don't know what pho is. Could you tell me what that is, customer?
Yeah.
I've never heard of pho.
Yeah.
Portlandia's got some good food episodes.
Yeah, super.
To bring that up. My favorite Portlandia episode is the one about the chicken, where they like ask his name and get his papers and like go to that like Colt farm. It's like, it's hilarious because that's what people do. Do you know where this is from? Do you know what his name was?
It's like Cafe Gratitude shit.
Oh. You
know? Oh, there we go.
Everybody,
should explain first what Cafe Gratitude is if somebody listens, because we're an international podcast.
We're in it now.
Based out of San Francisco, probably mid
2000s. T-minus about 6 minutes until we got into...
I need some more rosé for this.
Yeah,
we can just give the general. It's a fucking... It's a vegan...
It's a vegan place.
It's not vegan, actually.
What?
They have... It's vegetarian.
Okay. Yeah. It's a vegetarian, vegan restaurant that's a...
It's a health food spot.
Notorious health food restaurant that caters to new age, yoga, hippie kind of vibe. But it's also a very nice, expensive place.
Delicious.
But it's good.
It took me years to go there, and I was vegan for 12 years, and I never could go because everybody's freaked me out because every dish has an affirmation. Like, I am
amazing.
I am amazing, yes.
I am content.
Grateful. I am
this old song and dance.
Whatever, you know. Okay.
Actually,
I will say, though, the thing they do that I really like is they have, like, a what are you grateful for of the day.
Yeah.
So every time you go in and you order your food, they're what are you grateful for today?
You are probably the only person who does like that.
I answer that.
You know what?
Actually like that for...
I like it a lot, actually. The whole
it's
thing
It's positive,
because
it makes like you it too, think about it. What are you grateful for instead of being mad that you had to wait 10 minutes for your, like, soy latte?
Yeah, it's good to get you to slow down. I
we're
like
probably the only
turmeric
three people
honey dish,
I've ever heard say they like that, because most people are really turned off by that. But
what are they turned... Why?
They're just the whole thing. Like, they just want to go to a restaurant and order food like a normal person. They don't want anybody to buck their system of what they're used to. Kind of like, they don't like the menu at commissary.
Well, okay, but that brings up a good point of going to a restaurant. The whole point is that you're trusting that restaurant to give you an experience. So commissary, for example, like you're referencing, people will say, oh, it has pictures and it doesn't have words. It says pasta. It says steak. Like, of course, you can ask your server, how is this prepared? And they tell you nothing is going to be bad on the menu. Like, it's all great food and you're there for the experience and you're trusting that what they're sourcing and putting on the menu is going to be good.
It is not indentured servitude. It is not your civil duty to go there. Like, if you go there,
you don't have to go there.
You fucking don't have to go there. Like, there's a reason why there's a million coffee shops on the block in one.
Yeah, you go to the one that you like.
You go to the one that like fits. It's like it's like the Three Bears. Like, oh, this bed fits me just so.
It says a lot about you.
Don't go.
Go into that place.
Especially coffee. It's like, look how many coffee shops are in Larchmont. The people who go to Pete's are way different than people that go to Coffee Bean. Just not saying one's better than the
other. And G&B versus this and that. And they're all applicable. That's why everything works. It's competition in the restaurant. It doesn't exist. It's all bolstering one another. And it's good to have options, because some days I'm feeling Pete's. Some days I'm feeling G&B. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
true.
That's true.
A little healthy competition is good.
Options.
Consumerism.
Yes. Yeah.
Keywords being thrown out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a lot. But I like the thing that they say at Cafe Gratitude, there's like a daily question that the server mm-hmm. will ask you after she takes your food order. She'll be like, by the way, the question of today is blah, blah, blah. And that gives you, in this day and age where everybody's just on their phones, gives you something to talk about with your people.
That isn't that you're Facebook. Eating with.
I mean, it gets you to slow down a little bit. Like, yo, I'm going to get, I mean, I went with my ex, and it was nice. Like, we're there on a date. I'm not just there.
Did you guys talk about the question?
I can't remember what we, like, if,
well,
yeah.
I've talked about the question.
Yeah, we did, yeah. But it was just, if delivered well, and she, like, he or she is the server, delivered it well.
It's going to be
and
a
it
was like, thank you for that correction.
Yeah, fuck that gender shit. You know, it's your server.
Your server.
There are men that work there. And it worked. It's like, oh, that was calming, and yeah, it led into.
But wait, so you've had the conversation?
I've had the conversation. Yeah, and I enjoyed it.
I have a bad memory, so I don't remember.
But on the other hand, there's you got to draw the line somewhere. My girlfriend ate there tonight, and she said that people, all the staff were wearing these shirts that said LOE, and then where the V would be in the word love,
right,
was the deep V of their t-shirt.
They sell those there, actually. Now, that may be going a step too far. Just personal preference.
See, those are the
but they're just trying to be
maybe.
Clever, you know?
But those are the reasons why it took me years to go there. I only went there, like, real talk, like, no more than 6 months ago. And I've
known
about
like,
it since I was, like,
there's so many people who love there and, like, live
four.
In the neighborhood and eat there all of the
all
time.
The regs.
And it's like you drink the Kool-Aid and you love it and you go in there and you love your server asking you that question.
You get
question.
Their, like, mm-hmm. their not proper Korean kimchi that's also delicious. That ain't fucking kimchi, dog. Like, that is just some pickled vegetables, like, which is delicious.
But it's delicious.
Like,
it's all at the end of the day,
kimchi.
Though, it's expensive.
Yes.
But it's delicious.
But, like, I know they, like, mm-hmm. Full disclosure, like,
you know.
Organic produce is fucking expensive, people.
Yeah, like, it's expensive.
The meat that you're eating.
You are what you eat.
At those spots where they, and you said, like, Mary's or Neiman Ranch, like, all these properties, like, that shit is so much more expensive than the taco truck. There's a reason
why. That's
why
there's no
that
cafe
is,
gratitude
I'm
on,
to the
like,
people in the
you
world,
know.
By the way.
In lesser neighborhoods that maybe can't afford that. They're mm-hmm. in the neighborhoods like Venice Beach and Larchmont Village.
Marin County or wherever
right.
they are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The equivalent is in Frisco. Like, that's what, you know, like.
In the other
it's
neighborhoods,
expensive.
Your
it's,
ass is eating a banana.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm down with that. I fuck with bananas.
I have a banana in my smoothie every morning.
He does.
Do you make your smoothies at home?
Fuck yeah, he does.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
Honestly,
I don't have time for that. I don't know about you, but
I,
working at a restaurant, I don't have time to make my smoothies at home.
It's grab and go.
I have.
No offense.
I have a very specific morning ritual. That
involves making your smoothie.
That if I don't,
we are Virgos, by the way.
Thanks for the warning, guys.
Yeah. I don't know a lot about Virgos.
Well, my mother and brother are Virgo, so I got your guys' number.
Okay,
I be knowing.
And if I don't do my morning ritual, I'm grumpy and off all day.
So what happens when you're traveling?
And I will wake.
Is it on your rider that you have to have like a blender to like make your own smoothie?
Is this not a Vitamix?
When I'm traveling, I'm off. I'm off as a person. But like,
it's true.
But when I am traveling, when I'm leaving LA to go travel somewhere else, like go to the airport, I will wake up. I will set. I'm with this stupid motorcycle drive by. I will set my alarm and wake up accordingly to allow me enough time to complete that ritual so I could start my day.
What's the rest? I need to know
what the rest of the ritual is. I want to hear you say it.
It's just it's a very simple ritual.
So
I just wake up. I put on
yoga.
Put on a little NPR.
Do a little stretching.
I don't do any yoga or stretching.
He is also very flexible, by the way, for the ladies and the fellas or whoever's out there. This motherfucker, 6'9", real talk. Goddamn, so flexible. Sorry, getting freaky.
I can touch my toes. But I just make a cup of coffee and I make a smoothie and I like go through my emails and kind of knock out all of my boring administrative work for the day, and if I don't do that, I'm just off. I'm wrong.
So if you run out of coffee beans,
that doesn't happen.
It does happen.
But if you do, it throws you off. If you don't have your, if you only have your smoothie, you don't have your coffee. It's like there's something wrong.
Oh, if I don't have coffee beans, if I wake up in the morning and I need to make coffee and there are no beans,
ooh,
I am off. But I will stop whatever I'm doing and go get a coffee or go get beans because just as some hope of salvaging my routine.
I like that a lot. That's parallels to waiting tables and even cooking. You have to take it one at a time.
Yeah.
You have to go one task and then one task.
Because if you don't, it all explodes. You're not going to be able to do it.
Yeah, it's like a...
Open a circle, close the circle. God, so take true. On a task, finish it's the big. Task.
It's like a grandfather clock with the springs going everywhere. That's what it feels like.
Well, I don't know about you guys.
It has to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you have to do it in the order. However you have it going in your head,
yeah, but you
that's
have to
first,
do
that second, like a checklist. If you go and you... Oh, God, you're...
Yeah, God help you if you veer off the checklist.
I don't run into that problem because I have the ability to make coffee and smoothie at the same time.
Well, that's the thing.
Well, unfortunately, we can't do all of the things that we need to do
actually,
at a restaurant at the
when
same
you work
time.
In a restaurant, you can very easily make coffee.
It was a joke.
Well, those two things.
That's a fun, the irony.
I wouldn't consider
I make the yoke.
Multitasking two very different things.
Dog, we were riffing.
I know, we're riffing. Mm-hmm. But I have it down to a weird... Possibly Virgo science, where
don't offend all of the other signs out there.
There, it's not.
I just know.
It could very well be a bad thing, because like one of the main traits of being a Virgo is that you're a perfectionist,
mm-hmm.
and I have never considered myself to be a perfectionist in the standard ways in forms of like. Doing your homework as a child
exactly.
or whatever that might be. You know, when you think of being a perfectionist, you're...
But
you know,
a perfectionist the way you want it to be in your little checklist way that you're
It's micro
about.
Macro.
Okay.
It's like... Yeah. It's not an all-encompassing perfectionist. Like, at work, I'm a perfectionist. At home, like, fuck it, dog. Like, I might turn the
you're lucky.
Down.
You're lucky if you're wearing pants.
I mean...
You might not even put your makeup on. I think maybe that we... stumbled upon a good life lesson is find out early what you are a perfectionist at.
Do that.
And just stick with that.
Yeah.
Stay in your lane.
And then
always.
Find people around you who do all the other things that you don't do well really well.
Thank you, Kate Green.
Because
if you work in a restaurant,
BTBT, bro.
It's a whole team of people where maybe I'm really good at answering emails and like keeping organized
so
and you're really good at working the front door where you put me at the front door shut down.
Yeah. It is they're all cogs in the wheel. It's all about delegation. Nobody's job is better than the other. It's just like you can't.
It's like a little puzzle.
Like I'm a
Everyone's
GM.
Different piece.
That's a dishwasher. Like I'd be fucked without a dishwasher. He'd be fucked without me. Like there's no hierarchy. But
yeah,
there
everyone's
is,
no,
I
but
fire
I mean,
him, but there's
well,
not
yes
like,
or no. Everyone's working.
I will fire you,
okay?
Today,
but even if you did fire him, you'd have to have another dishwasher.
Yeah, but like,
so
exactly.
Every piece is important.
Also been there before. it's different for you
because you've been
important.
A dishwasher.
They're actually every piece is equally fucking important. Not important. Like you can't have one.
Yeah. Like without the other. Sure.
Without the other, we're all just cogs. The server.
The host. Chef.
The chef.
Line cook.
The delivery fucking guy. Your vendors. Like, you have to take care of your fucking vendors. You have to take care of your reps. You have to take care of the delivery guy.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
Everybody is fucking important. Because if you don't have, like, a link in the chain that goes away and your day is fucked.
It's like a big ecosystem.
Which is weird. So if you read some Danny Myers is like the
one Danny Myers
is
amazing,
like the god of hospitality. Everybody should read everything he's ever written, all the interviews. He's had documentaries about him. You take care of your employees so that your employees can take care of your guests.
Yeah,
because your guests are obviously important, but.
Yeah,
your employees are...
It's like your liaison between
you
and the guests.
Because you can't talk and touch every table and be there all the time. So you have to make sure...
Like empowering them to do that for you.
Yeah, you have to sort out all your employees so that they can sort out your customers. And then you can sleep easily.
And you look at Danny Meyer, like all of his restaurants are... The service there, it's just...
Oh, God.
It's phenomenal.
That's what it takes, man.
I don't know if I've eaten at a Danny Meyer Ristorante.
Union Square Cafe.
What's the spot inside of MoMA?
I love how I'm like drawing a blank. Right
11,
four, oh, 11 Madison Park.
11 Madison Park is like the heavy hitter.
Yeah, and like
in fucking Shake Shack, son. Like Shake Shack.
Yeah.
Fucking Shake Shack, dog.
The first time I went to Shake Shack, like coming from California, right? Everyone's this like in and out Shake Shack rivalry, which there isn't, by the way.
It's complete, there's no rivalry.
Completely. But I'm saying people compare it all the time to like which is better.
There's a huge rivalry.
But like Shake Shack, when I went there for the first time in New York, I'm like, you almost forget that you're at a quote unquote hamburger stand because everybody is smiling, nice.
Yes.
And it's like the service there is like a real restaurant. It's not like you're going up to a hamburger shack. Like everything is like a little system.
Because they've all probably like had a somewhat of a conversation with the god Danny. Like he goes around,
read his books, like this is my Bible.
And like, oh, dope. He gets it. I just, you know, if everybody should read. It doesn't matter what field you're in. If you should always read a Danny Myers book because it's inspiring and he's just got it figured out. But then again, he's just a dude from fucking St. Louis.
And he's super nice.
Who made it fucking happen.
And he's just like a normal, nice
dude. Super nice.
Riding that hospitality wave.
Yeah. He just, it's because it's.
Like Nelly.
It's all, like, what we do is super complex. Like, it's super complex, but it's also so simple. Like, you just take care of people and you. It's all
tables. As long as you remember that, like, your job is to be hospitable. Like, it's called hospitality. You're not there without your guests. If nobody comes in to eat, you're not a restaurant.
That server that you're trying to take care of, he doesn't get or she doesn't get tips. That cook is just standing there picking his nose. Like it's like nothing to do. It's like you need guests. You need like it's anyway. You're right.
Thank you.
Do you feel speaking of tips and servers and everything like that? I just saw.
Don't put us in this position
right
now.
Not every question is going to be an awkward moment that you don't have to talk about.
I want it.
I was just reading about a restaurant in Kentucky that took over a no tipping policy.
Okay.
And has their service structure be all of your servers will make it's commission based, but there's no tip. So. Every
off of sales then?
Off of sales.
That's pretty fucking
so
smart.
So basically what happens is the server gets either $10 an hour or 20% of their total sales per hour, whichever is more.
I'm not mad at that.
And there's
interesting.
I'm not mad at that.
There's no
at
tipping,
all.
There's no pressure to tip. All the customers know that there's no tipping. There's no option to write in a tip on your check. It's just all taken care of. So your servers If you have a shit day, you will at least make $10 an hour.
Okay, well, I do. The thing about the thing about tipping for me is like it's relative. It's like a big conversation. Everybody has their own like ideals about it, but not being able to leave an extra tip to me doesn't really make sense because
agreed.
You know, that's people's living and like you can make $10 an hour, but if you have a really great experience and you want to leave an extra tip for that person, you should definitely be able to do that.
Yeah, you should have that.
And also, if you have a really shit experience, you know, it's...
Right.
And my parents, I was raised with parents who always tipped 20%. Didn't matter if it was good or it was bad.
Hashtag very rare, by the way.
But that's just you know, they're from the South and they're very
right,
much like...
Hashtag, I like it.
They're like, this is their living and this is what we're going to do.
I know a lot of people like that. They'll get physically...
I don't do that. I don't do that, but you know...
uncomfortable if they don't tip anybody.
I feel like for me working in the service industry, I have had great service at restaurants and bad service at restaurants. And I at least leave... a good tip?
Ditto.
But it's also one of those things where, like, you know, I've had, you know, servers at restaurants just blatantly drop the ball, be rude, just kind of make comments and, like, things like that. And so, you know, it's all relative to me.
And your
experience is so, like, on your experience.
It's so rare.
A lot of people are afraid to leave a shitty tip if they get bad service.
I mean, like, again, I'd still leave a semi-good tip. I'm not leaving, like, a dollar. Like, I'm not that person.
No. That's
but I'm, what I'm saying is I'm not going to leave a 50% tip. Like, just some people leave enormous tips. That's just what they do.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
What's your take on tips?
I have to check myself all the time and remember that tip that you're giving...
doesn't just go.
Thank you,
to the
Kate.
Server. I'm so sorry. I should have said that myself.
That doesn't just go to the server, and that say you have that busboy that's
who
been,
do you go to though?
Everybody. That busboy. No,
you're
been,
really making me look bad now because I didn't mention that.
No, not at all.
And you're totally right.
Because you're on a tangent, but like I weirdly was like, you started going, and I was just like, everybody needs to know this. Keep it in mind that money might be going to the dishwasher.
Not the dishwasher.
Sometimes it does, though.
No, it does not.
Yes, it does.
It does not.
I've tipped the dishwasher personally, and I've been tipped, so sometimes it does.
Sometimes it goes.
It's bad.
I know.
Only front of house.
She's right. It's bad. It can get sour.
Yeah, then only front of house.
Kate Green is right. But
let's get into this.
My point is, it can go. It goes to a lot of fucking people. Every restaurant is different.
It goes to a lot of people. But it's
Expediter. Let's go Expo, by the way.
Expo is one of the most important members of the restaurant team. He goes down, we all go down in flames.
The most important. Yeah.
She, Kate.
Gender shit.
Gender equality.
This is a family podcast.
This is why Expo, the head chef, is often the Expo at a restaurant. Depending on the setup. Because that's how fucking important it is to know. Expediter means you read the tickets and you delegate to the food runner, the runner that drops the food to your tables, ideally to the proper seat position. That person.
Yeah, table 54 position 2.
Exactly. That person that's telling them to do that person's fucking gotta be good at their job because fuck making food twice.
It's not even about making food twice. It's like if you mess up position Ooh. 2 on table 54, Ooh. It goes back in the rotation where like if you have all those tickets in the kitchen,
yeah.
like there's table 60, 70, like all those things have to go in order before you get back to position 2 of table 54.
It's so
so
true.
If you miss it,
Ooh.
That table is not happy that they had to wait for their pasta.
Yeah.
And if you miss that, then the dishwasher's tips will be a little bit lower.
Clarification. So if you have
that free bowl of Brussels sprouts is coming out of his motherfucking tip.
With the goddamn red chili flakes and the
just a little fish.
No, but we
were talking about the way tips work, by the way. So if you have a great busboy that's like sorting you out always, he gets your to-go boxes, he refills your water, he's great, and your server's a fucking dick, and you're like, oh, this guy, I'm his or her section again. Like,
yeah, if you
don't forget that busboy,
if you fuck over the server, that busboy, like, and that's not cool.
That's your Monday through Friday spot. You're going there. Oh, that's your neighborhood spot. Like that busboy just got fucked because that server, like that, the busser, fuck busboy. Like those people are all getting fucked because the server is
that's a lot of F-bombs you've been using today.
I've been in that situation before.
I cuss a lot.
Where I'll have a shitty server,
yeah,
good busser,
right,
and I will leave 10% to the server and slip a tenner into the busser's pocket.
Well, I mean that's awesome, but I would say not a lot of people think to do that.
Or that's very rare. You know what?
Leave a semi good. You know, even if the server's bad, I don't leave like an awful tip ever saying there are other people, but
you know,
I'm very generous with my tips. If I have a good experience and I'm all about the experience, if I have a good experience, it's like,
oh, ooh, let's talk about tips. How about like,
you treat me nice, I'm going to treat you nice.
Let's not forget that to go is a fucking pain in the ass. So you should.
Well, but can we also talk about how tip on
to go? Tip on fucking to go. That is not an easy thing.
So I read this Facebook thread the other day where one of my friends who's going to remain nameless posted on there.
Learning.
Long arms.
I don't know if you can have any more of this or not.
there's a.
Okay, so basically on the Facebook post, it said to tip on to go or to not tip on to go?
Well, that's...
And the thread, you should have seen, like, the people's response to it. A lot of people were restaurant people. A lot of people weren't. And everybody, you know, there's some valid arguments on there. But one person finally was like, do you think that people don't have to make your food because it's in a to-go bag and not on a plate?
Yeah.
You have to make it. You have to coordinate.
It's a lot of
work.
Has
to be on time. Has to be fresh. Has to be in the right box with the right utensil.
Ugh, so much work.
Someone has to bring it to you.
And if it's a server that's doing both or if it's somebody else that's doing
both.
And
while the restaurant's busy, by the way.
While the restaurant is busy. Oh, God, it is not easy to compile a legit, well-done to-go order.
It looks like this. You walk into the restaurant.
There's a bag waiting for you.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
you give them the $20. They give you your change back. You take a bag. You go to your car. You're like, why am I going to tip them? They didn't do anything.
Service is service.
Heavy coordination on to-go's. Heavy coordination. And to have that shit ready in this perfectly creased, folded over, like, paper bag.
Well, but and to have a correct to-go order in the middle of service is not, like...
on a Friday, Saturday night?
Yeah.
There's a reason why restaurants...
It's not to be taken lightly. That's why they don't do it.
Don't do to-go during the middle of the rush, because it's hard work.
And yeah, agreed.
It's hard work. And... give them five fucking bucks, dude.
I don't know anything.
Is
like
it more
just
hard
not
work
zero.
For the kitchen than the front of house? Or
front of
equal?
House. The kitchen just says like food is food. You box it up and you go. Sometimes it's tough because the kitchen is fielding questions from the server, like, "Oh, where's my blah this to go?" Or, and it's hard.
I would
so
still say
situations.
It's a team effort. I wouldn't say it's on front or back. I would say it's on front of house more for coordination.
Yeah.
But I would say in back of house, like, you still have to get the order right and you still can't get it confused and you have to get it out on time.
But that's how every ticket is to me as a
well,
as
which
a
is
cook.
Why you should still tip on to go.
Yeah. Always tip on to go.
So moral
just
of the
tip,
story.
Just tip, guys. Okay, what we're saying is
don't
tip.
Don't zero it out with that tip. Line through it. Like, fuck that shit. That's cold. And I was getting there, but like, coffee. Coffee's a tough one.
Oh.
Coffee is a tough one.
Well, somebody, I don't drink coffee anymore, like at a coffee shop. Like, I don't do that whole coffee culture thing. So,
are you saying that? You got to sort them out, man.
You mean.
If you're getting drip, I see give you your change. But if someone's making.
But isn't service service? Like, what do you tip on if you go to a bar?
Oh, a bar?
If you go to a cocktail bar, you know, like you go to somewhere like the Varnish or it takes
the
them
Varnish
it's 20 minutes to make the cocktail. And it's well balanced and it's made to order and it's beautiful. So you can't just tip them a dollar like you do if you go to a club and you get a gin and tonic.
Or like a quick shot and a fucking beer. Like
that's why
a,
I don't a go buck, to Varnish.
Yeah.
You really should though cuz it's amazing.
Take too damn long. Got to tip too damn high.
Yeah, but man, you can't knock out an old fashioned.
If you're having a proper old fashioned, it takes time.
It takes
and
time.
It's worth it. I would rather have them take an extra 3 minutes of talking to my friend and have a beautiful like specimen of an old fashioned than go to like Avalon. Oh, should have called them out.
So yeah.
Go to a club. And
well, everywhere I go,
you know
if I order a drink, it does suck that.
We know. I know.
You go,
I just meant a club in general.
You go to a bar or a club that has a bar or a restaurant that has a bar and you order a Bud Light and the guy hands a Bud Light to you and you give him a dollar. Or if you make a Jack and Coke, he makes a Jack and Coke, you give him a dollar. And then if you go to Varnish and he makes a very fancy Jack and Coke, you give him $2, $3.
Well, you're also not getting a Jack and Coke at Varnish.
Well, I mean,
you can, but
that's
you're
why
a fucking
I said a fancy...
shithead.
Version. I mean, Jack and Coke was a generic cocktail example.
Oh, I mean, you get a G&T. You can get a gin and tonic at Varnish because you have a high.
Well, you can get anything you want at a fancy bar.
Gin.
But I'm saying, it depends. But that's what sucks is that you can go to a shitty club and order a drink, order like a horribly made cocktail that costs $15.
Oh, that's you're right.
In a plastic cup, and you're like. Motherfucker, I want to give you zero tip because this is highway robbery. But then if the guy does even less work by just handing you a Bud Light and screwing the top off, you're still giving him a dollar.
Yeah, that's where it's you
but
have
that's
to,
the same
you
thing
have
is
to
with,
suss it out.
Same thing's in the coffee world. If you order a drip coffee,
they just
put a mug underneath a hole and they pull a lever for 3 seconds.
It is that easy, by the way.
And the coffee comes out and you hand it to them.
That's why I said just give them change. I'll take that change. You know, I'll take that 50 cents, that 40 cents, whatever it costs. The difference of like that cash money. Mm-hmm. But if you get a cap made by somebody that's really good and you go there every day and they sort you out and they're like, "What's up, Stu? Like, you want a fucking cap today? You want like a cortado?" They're like, I'm feeling like, you know, like, how's your espresso pulling? Like, is it a milk day? Is it an Americano day? Like, how's it, you know? And then you have that conversation. Like, that's a skill set. Like being a barista, like a real deal barista where you know your beans, you know how bright it is, and you don't realize like that person was there at 6:30 for half an hour dialing in the beans, making sure that the grind is right because the grind changes with the humidity and this and that. Mm. And it's a lot of fucking work. And you don't just walk off the street and learn how to make a fucking cappuccino.
No, coffee's hard. It's an art.
It's just a skill, you know? It's a it's a learned thing. You can't just make that latte art in a day. It takes repetition. It takes time. And the more these coffee shops we live in LA or anywhere in the world open up, the they're spread thin. So to find a good barista is rare. Somebody that's affable, that takes care of you, that makes a good drink, that knows, that has a time to communicate with you.
Isn't an alcoholic.
Isn't a fucking cokehead from Seattle.
Doesn't have a blue you know, highlights in their hair.
It's like, what's up, bro? Like, yeah, exactly.
Doesn't have a soul patch.
Isn't a cliche, like, Central Perk motherfucker. Like, so to have, like, a real deal barista, it's so akin to
What you're saying is people should tip your barista, tip your barista.
Christmas comes around, get them a present. Like, you have to take good care of them because not every coffee shop is going to pay a barista a good hourly wage, but they should.
Oh, but now they get paid. They get paid. Because like you're saying, it's few and far between you find a good one.
Oh, God.
It's a competitive market for baristas.
Thank you. It's
the more
huge.
Therefore, you do have to pay them. Otherwise, they'll just go somewhere else.
This conversation and goes on, the happier that I am a DJ.
Listen, I don't think I could do what you do, and you might, you could kind of do what we do.
You have to want to. The difference between me and a server or me and somebody who's done what I've done for years is like you have to want to be a manager of a restaurant. You can't.
Which, by the way, management is a very hard thing. You have to take in consideration you're getting paid less than a server.
Yep.
And you, for the most part, have longer hours.
Yeah.
So you just have to be crazy to want to do it because you just love it. You love it so
much. And you're
on
call. Well, I have like heavy paternal instincts too. So there's that.
Oh, so they're
so everybody
children,
I take
right.
care of.
Gotcha.
My old restaurant I worked at, the busters would call me, "Yes, father." Like, because I'm getting to a point to we're 34. Like Jason.
Oh, he told your age.
I'm sorry, but we're not young men. Care. We're in our mid 30s.
34
now.
Is. Still like
it's still
you're
young,
not old,
but like, man, I got my start as a kid. So the equivalent, like a busser, that's 19 to 22. Like I'm like over a decade older than them,
right.
Which is dope because we can talk. We can talk about fucking 2 Chainz. We can talk about this, that, and the other.
I knew 2 Chainz was gonna come up
like
in this podcast.
Like
you know,
not like, but like, but now.
I remember when I was 19, I could not talk to a 34-year-old about anything.
Oh, it's you got a point there, by the way. So you're right, I shouldn't be drinking.
Yeah,
more.
We're just gonna.
So
it's gonna go.
I. God.
Put that away.
So
we're on our third bottle of rosé. Three people.
Just as interesting.
I'm on one.
Petit trois bottles are happening right now.
I feel like I drank one. Shout out to Fresh and Easy, by the way. That was
rosé on.
That was $7.61 for 2 bottles of rosé.
Well, I mean, my rosé did not come from Fresh and Easy, for the record.
Hell no, it didn't.
Okay, well, bougie. When you were saying that you couldn't do what I do you do any cooking at all, Kate? As somebody who works in a restaurant, in the kitchen.
No, I do not. It's a frequently asked question. Do you cook in your off time? I feel like when I was in college, I cooked
in all of
a lot.
Your podcasts?
Right. I feel like when I was in college, I would kind of cook every once in a while for my roommates and friends and like barbecues and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Working with the chefs that I do and like having access to the great food that I do and also being in the kitchen all day long, the last thing I do when I want to get home is get back in the kitchen. Yeah. A lot of people do it because it's cathartic and it relaxes them or it's their hobby. For me, like my job is being in the kitchen with the chefs and like, no one's going to make me a better quesadilla than Matt Molina, or like no one's going to make me a better pancake than Nancy Silverton. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm at work so much. Like I'm at work at the times that you eat your meals.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like I get off work and go to a meeting or I see friends and then I go home, go to sleep and do it all over again.
So Nancy Silverton makes you pancakes?
I have had her pancakes before.
Have you ever cooked anything for her?
No. I don't think
that's straight up cold.
I do not think that she would. She probably would humor me and eat it, but like as we all know, right. I'm just not a person that cooks.
Mm-hmm. You got to stay in your lane always.
Again, like I'm really good at what I do, and she's really good at what she does. She does not want to sit and nitpick and Facebook and answer emails and do all those things. And
she's
I could
into
never
it. Like she's stoked making you pancakes, probably.
Well, technically, she was making her son pancakes, and I was lucky enough to be in the house to eat them. But, and you know, anything that the chefs make is just, it's great.
Sacred.
Yeah. Like, staff meal is an important part of the day.
It's.
Yeah, what do you guys have for staff meal down there at Mozza?
You know, there's a lot of staff meals throughout the day because we have so many different restaurants and so many different shifts and crews coming in. So, like, the pizzeria has the morning staff meal. So, you could be eating pizza at 11 a.m., which is not a bad thing. No. Anytime you can eat that pizza, you are lucky. Mid-range, it's like, you know, chicken, like really great roasted chicken, the salsa. Everything is just like really great. And then sometimes you like walk over into Spaca and they're having, you know, chilaquiles or...
Ugh.
It could be anything.
I love staff meals so much. It's like when that young gun gets a shot to like prove themselves. Let's make some food.
Some like, of the chefs will make like all of a sudden you walk in one day and there's like kimchi fried rice or some crazy something.
Because you have
that somebody knows how to make really well.
You have a chef from Argentina. You have a or like Argentinian background. You have a chef from Peru or a cook from Peru. Where you get to try a little bit of everything. And it's really inspiring. It's so fun.
Yeah, I got to eat a few staff meals at your restaurant that you worked at.
In my last restaurant, Jason was, you know, staged here and there, and it was a lot of fun. Stage meaning you got to come in and learn what it's like. Learn, get some chops, like pick some cilantro
leaves.
Thank
you for explaining to everyone what stage means.
Stage is, you know.
Not everybody knows what that
stage,
means.
I actually don't know the history of stage. I'm guessing it's French.
I was just going to say it's probably some French
comes from
shit.
From France and... You know, chef comes from France. Chef means, like, chief means chef, means just you're the head. Like, it's like a comparable thing. You're like, you're the top dog. Even though the owner is really the fucking top dog, by the way. Fuck the chef. Like, the chef does the owner's bidding.
Yeah.
Dustin Hoffman calls the shots in the kitchen.
Dustin Hoffman.
That was the chef, the movie reference.
Yeah.
I just recently watched it on an airplane.
Yeah. He's a lovely man.
Nice guy.
He's a lovely man.
We're friends with his daughter.
Friends with his daughter. And I have had the good fortune of waiting on him, and there couldn't be a nicer guy.
I had the good fortune of playing tennis on his clay court and have him retrieve one of my balls, and then I felt very strange.
Yeah.
I was like, you don't do that. You don't have to get that.
Just leave it.
Can we write like a joint memoir? Because we have fucking stories forever and ever and ever.
Sure.
So we should, yeah.
You know, I feel like I've been reading a few books here and there, hearing about people's memoirs or life story books, and they're all fucking boring, man.
I know.
I feel like...
I'm trying to think of a good memoir that I've read that's... Oh.
Blood, Bones, and Butter.
That no, I actually... I don't know if it's a memoir, but... And I'm not, like, trying to plug my boss or anything, but I really mean it when I say it is. My boss, Joe Bastianich, has this book called Restaurant Man.
Oh, that's a great fucking book.
That is...
Restaurant Man?
Restaurant Man.
Yeah, man.
It is...
Is that your job title, Stewie?
Yeah, man. Shaba.
It is, but it's literally... I don't get a lot of like time to read books.
Because,
again, I come home and go to sleep like after the night of drinking wine with my friends or working. And when I got his book, I was like, oh, like maybe I'll like flip through it. But from the day that I started reading it, I couldn't put it down.
Yeah.
Because it was a story about how I used to work on Wall Street and then like the opening of Babbo and like all these crazy things that you don't think about, like what linen costs and like just these crazy
so
things that for me were like so relevant and interesting. And I liked it because it was fun and off the cuff and, you know, a lot of stories. Not like the memoirs where you're like yawn, like, can I hear another story about something that is not relevant? It was actual relevant things to the restaurant world.
If it wasn't for him, and he helped write a book, what's the Italian wine book?
Vino Italiano.
Vino Italiano.
The Wine Bible.
The Wine Bible.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. So I had that in my backpack, and I was riding my bike to work. I was a server at a restaurant in Highland Park called Maximiliano, pre me being the general manager of Maximiliano. Shout out Andre Guerrero. Shout out Fred Guerrero. Shout out Max Guerrero.
Before you took your apparent pay cut and became the manager?
No, actually, that one I fucking, you know.
They're not all pay cuts.
They're not all pay cuts, but it... Fuck, I mean, well, actually, when you
say the F word a lot.
I mean, I told you I would. Before,
I mean, you're like throwing him out there.
Before.
Stewie likes to work blue on the pod.
Yeah, we had cable when we were kids, so there's, you know, I watched.
He's got a foul mouth.
I watched a lot.
I mean, I do too, but not nearly as much as him.
Oh, man, the word. I have friends.
I mean, I thought I was
I have
bad.
Friends put me in check that, like, anyway. So.
Vino Italiano.
Vino Italiano. I was riding my bike.
Stop saying cut in front of my grandkids, man. Cut it out.
I hear that
all the time?
All the time. I was riding my bike to work.
At Maximiliano.
To Maximiliano in Highland Park. Got T-boned by a car.
On your bike.
On my bike. It spun me like a top, and I flew off.
Call it a T-bone when you're on a bike and they're in a car?
Yeah, because it hit me as I was going parallel. Mm-hmm. That's a fucking, you know, that's like perpendicular. Sorry, not parallel. Like, that's a T-bone.
You always want to hit against the grain when you're crashing.
Well, I mean, that's a cross cut, by the way. Shout out to carpentry.
It was a bad T-bone reference.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just got FaceTimed by Nancy Silverton from France right now.
Fuck yourself.
So I just sorry to be looking at my phone and not paying attention.
This book is a tomb. It's probably like a good 4 inches thick. And if that was in my backpack and I didn't land on that book, which was in my backpack because I was learning about Italian wines. That's an Italian restaurant. I wasn't wearing a helmet. If that wasn't my backpack, I could have easily cracked my fucking skull open.
Basically, you're saying that Vino Italiano saved your life.
I'm not saying that. Like, it
literally and figuratively.
For reals, till the day I die.
I'm going to tell Joe that story because that's amazing.
Near and dear to my heart. And it's fucking good.
And the
good.
Book is
it's good.
Insane.
It's not a book. It's a it's reference. You flip through
a guide.
It. You don't know about multiple Chiano. You don't know about the regionality. Like, I mean, you got Italian cooking and wine. You have French cooking and wine, and they're pretty parallel. And you can like flip a coin and say which one is more important. I'm gonna go Italian every day.
I'm gonna agree with you on that.
Every fucking day. We're half Mexican, Jason and I. And if it wasn't for the Italian influence and vice versa, I'm fuck with the mother sauces. I like rich foods. I do, but. Monday through Friday, I'm trying to eat really clean Mediterranean cuisine, and that's Italy, and that's Italian wine, and that's clean. I like drinking wine out of a little tumbler, and it's like, you know, I don't need this bourgeois, like bulbous wine glass.
I do.
I respect
bougie motherfucker over
bougie
here.
Jeans.
I need bulbous in my life at all times.
So that's just me.
Well, I love that story.
If
that's
I can't
a great
fit
story.
A WNBA basketball in my wine glass, it ain't for me.
It hurt real bad, by
They're
the way.
A little
getting
bit
hit by a car. It was a hit and run. Jason remembers the story.
Shout out not to the person who hit Stewie.
That motherfucker, I found his car, and I never could find him. But I got some money out of that shit. You know?
Swag.
Respect.
So it was like a company. Scene out of the movies where the guy gets shot. And you think he's dead, and then he pulls the sheriff's badge out of his front pocket that has
the bullet in it.
Oh, I like it when it's the Holy Bible. Like, oh, the Bible doesn't say, yeah.
Well, you were saved by your
Holy saved
Bible.
By it, the Holy, exactly. The Holy Bible of Vino Italiano.
Chin chin.
Chin chin, everybody.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe B.
When you guys have been in your restaurants, we've named all these big influential chefs and writers and restaurateurs that some people may not be aware of, mm-hmm. who are not in the industry. Who have you guys had come into your restaurants where you're absolutely starstruck? Not necessarily a giant celeb, but just like a personal crazy thing.
It's Gordon Ramsay straight away.
Oh.
Because he's the most affable... Lovely.
So lovely.
I felt like he was...
Straight away.
He took my job over. There was five gentlemen. They're all footballers.
He worked at Flore too?
That's an LA dig. I'm not going to go into that. But
listeners at home, Flore is a vegan cafe in Silver Lake. That is great. I just ate there yesterday.
Shout out to Miranda.
Yeah.
Flore is... Without Flore, I wouldn't be the man I am today. She took good care of me. She's like a big sister. Anyway... Gordon Ramsay. Fuck the TV.
He's TV's TV, but he is a lovely human.
Lovely human and a Michelin star chef of multiple times over. You can't step to him. He knows what he's doing. And he was so kind and so pleasant.
Yeah.
All of his guests were so because he steered the ship more than me. He didn't take over. We did it together. Like, made sure everybody had the right drink, the right wine, the right dish, the right... Oh, how's the special? Made sure I complimented the chef on his bolognese. He didn't finish the bolognese. He's like, let him know that I've been working all day. I've been eating food all day. I'm not even hungry. I just wanted to try the bolognese. I was like, perfect. Thank you. I appreciate that. The nicest...
Yeah, he's great.
Fuck the
did
TV.
Did he send sent the bolognese back because it was raw?
No, he just didn't finish it. Raw. It was raw.
Raw. I mean, for me, it wouldn't necessarily be like a guest of the restaurant per se, because
I guess at Mozo you've had every single everyone. Man. Kind of. You may or may not be allowed to talk about it.
No, it's totally fine.
I will put celebs in your mouth.
No. But your question is like, what's the...
I saw Vince Vaughn there one time. I know what time it is.
No, but it would be like...
How you doing, baby?
Your question is like, who's like the biggest name chef that you've met? Like,
No. I know who have
not... It's not necessarily in the restaurant, but like we all do offsite events. So we do these like charity events, or we travel the country with our chefs or our restaurants and we like meet people, and some are for charity, some are like, you know, Hawaii Food and Wine Festival or Pebble Beach, and you kind of get to get up close and see.
Some for charity, some for extremely rich people.
Correct. I would say that for me, like my end all be all of like that category of chef is definitely Daniel Boulud. Like he is my one of my favorite
Lil B
people that I have ever met in general, because he is just so full of life and lovely and down to earth and never turns away a photo and never, you would never know. If you didn't know that he was Daniel Boulud and you just thought he was a person, you just think that he was lovely and smart. And
he's the Skrillex of chefs.
Aww.
I mean,
sure.
Because that's people exactly have been how for Skrillex decades. Is, by the way. He's the nicest guy I've ever met. He really is.
Yeah, no. Sonny's I'm backing great. That. Sonny's but a good dude. He's great. A good but dude. Just, you know, being someone who's like kind of, I started working at restaurants when I was 22 and I didn't know anything or about the restaurant world. And like, you kind of grow up in it and you hear the names like a Danny Meyer or like a Joe Bastianich or a Daniel Boulud or a Gordon Ramsay. And I just met Danielle and I was super nervous, and he just couldn't have been nicer everybody. Mm-hmm. Like not just me, but like any random person that would come up to him and talk to him.
That's comforting.
He's the man.
And his staff. He's so nice to his staff. You see a way that a chef treats their employees. And I mean, that says a lot about.
I mean, that translates to all.
It's a reflection.
Business sectors, like you should always just treat your staff well. I've learned that over life, because you're nothing without them.
Can't wait till I have a staff to treat well. Nothing without
them. Jason just wants a staff.
Yeah, dog, get an intern. Always. That's the trick. So everybody, if you have an art gallery, if you have whatever, a marketing firm. There's somebody out there.
Any type that's of small business.
Small business. There's somebody out there that's going. To SC, UCLA, fuck that dork shit. They have to go, in order to graduate, they have to have an internship. Mm-hmm. And like, they'll happily go work for you because you're a nice guy. Mm-hmm. You know, you do marketing, you do this, that, the other. Like, everybody should have an intern. Mm-hmm. That is worthy of an intern, like, you should take them up on it.
And then but do I have to buy them ice cream on the weekend?
Yeah, and you should.
Always ice cream.
And you should. And you should. And you should get him.
Take him to soccer practice?
You should get him into the club. You should put him on the list. Always, 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 always.
That's I could probably get drugs from them since they're young and have their finger on the pulse.
Percocet.
The perks. The perks.
Percocet. All
right, you can have some of this back now.
Okay. No, I need water. And I'll drink some
water. You can have a little sip of that.
Oh, man.
I was just reading. Wait, have you guys used Blue Apron yet? Do you know what that is?
Don't know what that is.
I know that is.
It's this service where you spend. It's like $50 a week, and they send you 3 boxes a week that are meals for you to make for like you and your wife or husband.
Well, just for the record, I'm going to be really honest, because people I know are probably going to listen to this and call bullshit if I say anything about me cooking.
I would hope so.
In my kitchen, in the cabinets, where your cabinets are full of pots and pans and mandolins and spatulas.
Mayonnaise. Only mayonnaise.
My cabinets are filled with clothes.
Clothes?
So I have one cabinet in my kitchen which has a blender and a pan, like a little wok pan, and maybe a coffee pot. And the rest of them are filled with, I use it like, you know, a dresser drawer.
Whoa.
And that's only because I have a lot of clothes, and the kitchen is kind of, it's like Carrie Bradshaw, you know? It's like you put your sweaters in the oven, and it's like, it sounds funny, but if you went into my house and opened it up, so Blue Apron might not be the best
Well, that's
choice for me, but Stewie?
I don't know. I'm fine. I don't have time for that shit. I eat real well all the time. I go out to eat because once you're done, you punch the clock. I want to be served now. So I'll go eat.
Like I said, you don't want to go back into the kitchen.
Yeah. But like, I can fucking cook, you know, like in the morning when it's my ritual shit too. Like, I'm going to make a little omelet. I'm going to make a little something. If I'm drunk, like, I'm going to make a little peanut butter pickle sandwich that grandma Sarah taught us how to eat.
Whoa. Hold on. Back up a second.
That's a callback.
I am not letting you get on.
Jason and I know all about peanut butter pickle sandwiches. It's a Stewart family.
Can you break it down for me? What kind of bread?
I prefer a nice, it's like a real nice Jewish rye. That's my shit.
Okay. And then peanut butter?
Always crunchy, salted, but not like too salted.
What kind of pickle?
The crispest,
like dill, like sweet
dill. Always dill. Okay. No, I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's so much dill that I don't even recognize any other pickle when it comes to.
I'm with you, but some crazy people like sweet pickles.
I like sweet pickles, but there's an application for that, and you usually dice them up and you throw them inside a fucking Thousand Island dressing because that's all they're good for.
Fair enough.
Because I really don't fuck with sweet. That is so funky to me.
Yeah, same.
But you go with dill, and I like a nice crunch. I like it to be white, almost.
I love that you're waxing poetic about peanut butter and pickle.
Because
sandwiches.
You don't know my grandma, dog. Like, the grandma. Like she is.
I do not know your grandma.
She's the true blue matriarch of the family. If it wasn't for grandma, that we wouldn't be here today. You know, our mom did the best she could, and she worked real hard, but grandma was a rock. Like, we were raised by our mom and our grandma, and I you know, she just retired from Sears as of like probably half a month ago. And she taught us so much. Like 85, probably.
She retired at 85?
From Sears. Not from some affluent shit. Like, Jason and I didn't come from money. We grew up in Orange County, but it doesn't mean we came from money. We're not the slums of Beverly Hills, but like, you know, like we're self-made men because our mom and grandma told us.
And I'm not going to try to cry here.
They showed us how to like.
You're really breaking it down.
Well, that's how like my grandma is not going to be here forever, and it's one of the big reasons why Jason and I still live in Southern California is because our mom and grandma are so important to us, and if it wasn't for them. I mean, I don't know. Like, we're nice people because
big
of
ups,
my
grandma.
We're basically, for the record, we're right basically now. Southern because we're the first to be born in California, by the way. Like, our family's all from West Virginia, Virginia. We're born in
Huntington
Beach.
Is that considered the South still?
Fuck yeah.
Virginia? South. I'm sorry, my parents are from Georgia.
Here, that's south. That's south. But
Virginia's right on the cutoff. But
it's on the cutoff, but like.
It may not be geographically as Southern, but it. Definitely country.
I mean, country. I don't get on the mic very often, but I it just kind of came out like, if it wasn't for my grandma.
I just love you.
Like, she did so much.
I love
like,
you a lot.
She's the most important person in my whole life. Almost more so than my mom, because without my grandma, I wouldn't have my mom. You know? Shots fired, mom.
Mom is pissed right now. Mom is pissed.
Which is a bummer, because mom's probably listening to this podcast.
Grandma is not.
But mom knows.
Grandma is definitely
but
not.
But mom knows without Graham, yeah, there would knows. Be no fucking mom, you know? Mm-hmm. Like,
well, can we just say big ups to grandma?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for teaching the boys about everything.
Everything.
Yeah, so we did grow up in Orange County as like little OC, like skater punk rats, you know.
I can see that.
Vegan straight edge. We never
but
got
we also,
into trouble.
We're our root in the food world is from Southern American food.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
And
that makes
being
sense. I didn't know that.
Vegetarian and
sense.
Vegan forever and ever, and like surf culture, health food. Like we after
not anymore.
Not anymore. But like after, but like
you get down on a hamburger.
Yeah, but we get down on the hamburger. But like on the day to day shit,
avocado
like,
on there.
Did
bro.
We not say that sprouts. We make smoothies every day? Like that's some HB.
No, like looking at like if everybody hasn't seen Jason's Instagram, let me just bring up Jason's Instagram as being that thing where I look at it and see it, and then I either leave a rude comment or text him like, "How come I didn't get invited for the like kale with a fried egg on top of it?"
Because you live far away, apparently.
Listen.
And you, I know what you do for a living. If I need to see you, I have to come to see you at the...
I know. What happened to my breakfast burrito?
Dude, I owe you.
You owe me a breakfast burrito.
I do.
That's a real thing.
And, yeah.
A homemade one?
Damn it. No. Actually, shout out to Kofax on Fairfax.
Because Stewie and I were talking about
breakfast
life.
The life, yeah.
And somehow Breakfast Burritos came up, and so he's talking about Kofax, which is owned by the Golden State Boys on Fairfax.
And Bledsoe's. They do.
Right. Yes, they do Bledsoe's. And he's like, you have to have this breakfast burrito. I'm going to drop you off one, like, tomorrow.
Tomorrow didn't
and
happen.
And then it just, tomorrow never came. It did not, show up on my desk.
She's right. I owe her a breakfast burrito.
Sounds like you guys need to go there together.
No, she can't leave the office.
we tried that. Yeah.
She can't leave the office. I have to give it to her. But then I realized, like, how am I going to leave my office? Like,
the curse of working at restaurants. You can't hang out with your other restaurant friends for lunch.
You can't for lunch.
Or it's breakfast, called, for that matter.
That's just called stalemate. Like, ooh.
Like, Jessica, see, like, see you after service.
Yeah. And in which case, the breakfast burrito ain't happening.
Are you going to have croutons for breakfast again? So am I.
Sure.
Out of a deli cup.
It's usually just
a are we eating leftover pizza for breakfast? Always.
Always. There's some in my fridge from Maximiliano. Shout out again to Maximiliano.
Real East Side over here. Right. Stewie. Stewie's just using this as a ploy to shout out people.
Just because I care about
he's
them.
The mayor of Highland
and they
Park.
Need to know. I'm the mayor of fucking Highland. God damn it.
Yeah. He's the Villa Grossa of Highland Park.
Ooh, shout out Mayor Villa Grossa. Former mayor.
Do I have to call out how he's such a G but also a terrible person?
I like him.
He's a nice guy, but he didn't do shit for the city.
Nobody does anything for anywhere.
Take that back. Mayor Garcetti is fucking badass.
That's Garcetti. I'm talking about Villa Grossa, way.
I know, but he said nobody does anything for anybody.
No, that's not true, yeah.
And I'm disagreeing with that by saying that we now have a mayor who is
Gil.
Fantastic.
Where was his?
And also has his own little, like, urban, like, hipster garden of growing his own vegetables, apparently.
Who doesn't?
How about where were their districts? Highland Park.
Oh, that's, Jesus Christ.
Oh, know your fucking neighborhood way.
Well, I feel like if anybody listened to this podcast who had dreams of working in a restaurant or owning one, they are maybe having second thoughts.
Look how much fun we're having,
we
by the way.
We love our restaurants.
No, I know. It's fun, but it really takes a certain person. And luckily... Yeah.
And come talk to me. Come talk to... Like, I would love...
See me in the street.
I mean...
Come holler. Which is why... The more I am being engulfed into this world, the more I'm starting to realize and hope that there is a lane for me that doesn't involve all of this bullshit.
And you don't, and I don't want you to.
Which, thankfully, it does.
Wait, but I wouldn't say it's all the bullshit. Like, I think what we do is super, it's redeeming and wonderful, and at the end of that really long shift, you're so proud of the team that you work with, and you have a great day every day. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it takes a crazy person to work at a restaurant, and you keep coming back and doing it over and over, but the payoff is so...
It's so... fucking fulfilling.
Very fulfilling.
So
and
fulfilling.
I just wake up every day and I'm happy to go to work instead of dreading going to work like a lot of people.
Like working at like a great mom and pop Monday through Friday spot, I've seen kids grow up, you know? I've made so many friends. I've traveled the world with people that I've met because of restaurants. Like,
restaurants are like, it's a connector. Everyone has to eat.
Yeah, I mean, and I spend all my money on food and travel and wine and beer and cocktails. Yeah, and that's it. Like, I don't have shit. I don't have stuff in my little one-bedroom house. I have art because...
I have a studio, but I eat really well.
I eat
not
really
in my kitchen,
well.
Not, by I mean, the way.
Yeah, I mean, I can cook and I like to cook. Jeans knows. Like, we did a pop-up together. Like, we Jason can fucking cook. Shout out to the reason he has
a shout out them jeans.
Shout out to everybody because jeans. The reason why he has his food podcast, like my brother is a really good cook. Super good cook. Better than I am. But if he walked
definitely better than me.
Better than I am. But if I walked into a restaurant, I can be like I can throw down. Like I can do it. Just give me something to do and I'll do it. Jason doesn't have the reps. He could do it, but it's just there's a home chef, restaurant chef. Like Jason, I don't know. I take that back. Jason can fucking cook. He can walk into a restaurant. He could be of use. I can walk into a restaurant. I can cuss and scream and like dictate. And like,
which is a skill, ladies and gentlemen, just so everybody's aware.
Yeah. Because somebody's got to fucking do it.
Someone has to be like,
somebody has to do it.
The cool chef, and someone has to be the person who's yelling at everyone.
It's straight up good cop, bad cop.
Those days where I have put in a full day's work in the kitchen, are like, it's like a level of tiredness that you don't...
You never would imagine.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man.
But that's
well, every time I go in the
Tuesday
kitchen...
to me.
Right? But every time I... You know, I work in the morning in the office, and then I stay a little bit for service. But every time I leave at like, you know, 6, 7, 8 o'clock, I look in the kitchen. I see my chefs on the line. And it like pops into my head every night that they're there until the bitter end. I mean, we're open till midnight at the pizzeria. It's like,
really?
You know, and they're there all day. And their level of work, even though mine's really hard, I mean, they are on their feet. They are sweating. It's just like, it's really,
yeah, and
really
you're,
hard.
You're kind of pumping on adrenaline for 12 hours, 14 hours.
Yeah.
And then when you're done and you sit down...
Well, at the end of the day, you can't like, have a restaurant without the kitchen.
Holy shit.
Oh,
the kitchen is like the heart and soul of what you do.
Yeah, I mean, I can't like have that little snack midday without those dudes. I can't. You can't do anything out of the kitchen. That's the best. That's why I'm so thankful that I got to cook for even 4 years at a
vegan like you understand the
for,
kitchen.
I can relate,
which is great.
I can talk to the dishwasher. I'm like, yeah, I've done it before. Like, I can say you, and I've worked at bars. Like, you gotta clean up that puke in the bathroom, like, cause I've had to clean up the puke in the bathroom. There ain't nothing. I'm like an amateur electrician, plumber, contractor.
You're a jack of all trades.
There's nothing. I mean, every day is a new thing, but because of my
new
background,
way to get shocked.
Luckily, with architect, you just got an. Oh, God, I've been shocked so many fucking times. Wet hands and quick.
I'm glad you're alive.
And me too.
Just barely.
Yeah. And that's just me. Everybody else, there's a million of me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And...
But you're irreplaceable.
I'm what now? Say it again.
Well, we couldn't hear
louder.
That one. One more time.
To the left.
To the left. Yeah.
Yeah, well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thanks, y'all.
We've learned a lot, and I'm going to keep pushing on in my own little food way, and you guys are going to do the same way.
It's not little, man. You're important to the food scene. You there needs to be a voice, and somebody needs to... not everybody's Jonathan Gold. Like, Jonathan Gold is a special human being, but everybody has to...
don't get us started on this tangent right now. We'll go off on how important, like...
yeah, you don't need critics, but... You need advocates, and you're an advocate for people all over LA, and people that are like Taroni to Proof to me to Kate to Tacos Via Corona. Like, all these people deserve shine, and you do that, and it's super duper important because without that, they can't subsist, and everybody needs acknowledgement. Everybody deserves a little shine.
I feel like
always,
Stewie
always,
the
always,
shining,
always,
loving star of this podcast today.
Because 20 years of doing something, like, it's
20 years is a long time.
That's what I think about all the time.
But also,
there
are millions of people across the world who are in the food service industry who don't have, like, you're talking and saying a zillion things because most people in your situation don't ever have that opportunity. Where if you're in the entertainment business,
so true.
Every day somebody wants to ask you a dumb question and interview you for something. But in the food game, it's still such a new thing.
Staples, like how you were saying earlier about Danny Meyer, where you like have those books out there that like Thomas Keller has his, you know, books out, and like all these people have all these books that you can read. But you don't have that access to having a voice all the time, I think, in the food world, which is changing. And like, you know, as the food situation gets bigger, it's changing. But like,
it's very exciting because food and restaurants have been literally around since the dawn of time. Not restaurants, but food itself. You know, it's
sustenance.
One of the basic
survival, entertainment,
and intake.
I would say not until the last 10 years has actual food related media and content and all of those things been accessible outside of cookbooks.
Yeah.
Right.
They're pretty much cookbooks. Yeah. Like, and you would have to really work hard to find those cookbooks.
Half my career I was a pirate, you know? Like, I was undateable. Or like, I meet girls' parents and like, You do what?
Can you explain what your job is?
Like, I was this fucking...
Until
you know?
My mother came to the restaurant, I don't think that she really knew like what it was that I did. Oh, I work at this restaurant. I work all these hours. What is it you do again? And I'm like, how much time do you have?
Dude, yeah, shadow me for a week.
But then when she came in and saw like what we do and like all things, she's like, okay, like this is a major operation that you guys are doing.
Looks like a rom-com in here.
Yeah.
I mean, Stewie is wearing a pink collared shirt right now.
No, I mean, I love a kitchen related rom com scene.
Oh, man. I love my life so much. It's the greatest. I
Again, being you are literally being the sappiest, happiest person in this podcast.
Yeah, I'll be queuing up some violin music under a few score points.
And don't think me and Sam didn't do the intro song, by the way. Shout out to me.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
Sam.
The last episode, we premiered our new little intro song that is Sam, my girlfriend, and my brother, and I singing on auto-tune.
Yeah.
That you heard at the beginning of this episode.
Because shout outs to Jason and his. And Sam is the best. He's a great foil.
Stewie, just please tell us about all the people that you.
Yeah, I'm
giving wedding. We're giving wedding speeches right now.
All right, we're gonna wrap it up, Stewie.
I love you.
Yeah, Stewie.
Bye.
People could go visit Stewie at Good Girl Dinette in Highland Park.
I'll be there.
They can. If people want to hit you up on Twitter, what's your name on there?
I think it's Stewie Stewart, but Instagram is Stew Stewart. But let's not sleep on the gallery. Slow Culture, me and Jason, we've been friends with Fred and Max forever. Slow Culture, at Slow Culture on Instagram and on Twitter. Like, those are our brothers. Like, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Kate, people can visit you never because you're hiding in the office. But they can go, they can find you on...
You can catch me online at Fun with Kate on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah.
Big up Fun with Kate.
Yeah.
Kate is fun. I am at Them Jeans. You can follow us on our iTunes. Subscribe. Give us a good rating and review. Tell a friend. And that's all. Thank you so much, guys. We'll see you next week.
Peace.
Bye.